And my question I would like to ask each one of us is, will I have the boldness? And will I have the faith that if that day comes and somebody does hold a gun to my head, I will say, no, I will not ever renounce the name of the precious name of Jesus. You know, as I think about a thought like that, that's a very sobering and thought-provoking question. And as I think about that, I don't believe for 1 minute that we're just going to get there overnight. But rather, as you develop a relationship with Jesus and a daily follow his commandments, and you are rooted, truly rooted in Jesus, then you will have the faith and the power to say, no, I will not renounce his precious name. I believe we're living in the last and final days. And I believe the return of the Lord Jesus is very soon. I don't know how many of y'all pay attention to the news. I don't like to follow it a whole lot. I can find it depressing if I really follow it. But I do have some interest in some of the events that are happening in the Middle East. And as I look at some of the events that are happening over there, I find it very interesting. And there's some strange and unique things that are happening over there. But if we are living for Jesus, a life that is true, and we have peace with God, none of us have to worry about the events that are taking place. We don't have to live in fear. Brother talked about fear. We don't have to live in fear because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You know, Jesus promises, he promises to be there for us, just like our brother talked about. Thank you for your devotional. And home for the believer is heaven. And as I think about everything that's happening, I have to ask myself and I ask each one of y'all is, are we ready to meet our Savior in the air? And if he comes at this very hour, will you make it to heaven? Or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you? You know, to me that's a sobering thought. And I hope and pray we can all examine our lives and say, yes, heaven is my home and Jesus will let me into heaven. Romans 1:6 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Jesus? And as we sit in a setting like this morning and our brothers and our sisters are right beside us, I don't think any of us would say, no, we're not ashamed of Jesus. We can proclaim his holy name. But then what about as we go throughout our week? As we're going throughout our duties, as we're rubbing shoulders with the world around us, do we tend to blend in? Are we ashamed? Or do we have the boldness of Paul to stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will Jesus find us faithful to the end? I recently listened to a topic and I found it very thought-provoking. And the Lord prompted me to bring a message of similar fashion to my home congregation. And I will share it with y'all here this morning. And as I look at a message like we're going to go through, I do not claim to have everything together. There's a lot I feel like I missed in a message like I'm going to share. But I pray it can stir our minds. And if I say something this morning that you don't know quite what I meant, or maybe you have a question about it, my Uncle Cliff has my number. Feel free to call me up and ask me. And maybe we can learn something together. The title of my message this morning is The Evil, the Foolish, and the Wise Man. Which one are you? And I would like to start out this morning by looking at each of these men and an example of what each one looks like. And then we're going to take these men and we're going to look at what they mean for us today. And as we look at these three men, I want to encourage each of us, evaluate your own life, not your neighbors, and truly ask yourself, which of these three am I? Brothers and sisters, here this morning, if we are the first two of the men that we're going to look at, the evil and the foolish, unless we repent in the face of death, we're not going to have that power of the Holy Spirit to have the boldness of Paul, to stand up and say, I am not ashamed. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 9, and I'm going to look at verse 6 to 10 for a text here this morning. You know, as you look at the book of Proverbs, it's full of examples of these three individuals. But I'm just going to focus on these four verses here this morning. And before we read them, I just want to get our minds going here a little bit this morning. So each one of y'all, like y'all, just imagine with me for a little bit that you're the owner of a business. Now that might be hard for some of us. For me, I'm not a business owner. I don't want to be a business owner as of right now. There's too much headache that goes with that. But try to imagine with me just for a little bit that you're the owner of a business that sells dog food. Now, it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's a new business. And you only have one employee here this morning. You know that you have a good product. And you're going to try to teach your employee how to do the best job that he can. And if you see that your employee is doing something wrong, you're going to talk to him. You're going to try to help him make changes, make adjustments to what he's doing so that your business can be more fruitful and be more productive. But as you come to your employee with information, your employee has the three options that we talk about here this morning at what he does with the information that you bring to him. He can be evil, foolish, or a wise man. So let's read Proverbs 9 at this time, 9, 6 to 10. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot or a spot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now I want to look at this and kind of break this down a little bit. So first, let's look at the evil man. Verse 7 says, he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot or a spot. Now if we go back to our illustration, if your employee is the evil man, he will have destruction in his heart. He does not have you or your company's best interest in mind. Someone once stood up in a business meeting and pointed his fingers and he said, I'm going to take this place down. That evil man, if your employee is the evil man, he is going to try to destroy your business. He's out to destroy you and everything you have. This man has evil intentions. And there's a biblical example I want to look at that shows how the evil man responds to truth. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 14. And I want to read verses 1 to 12. Matthew 14, 1 to 12. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. You know, as we look at that account there, that when Herod and Herodias were shown a truth, it made Herodias angry to the point that she instructed Herod to put John in prison. And later John was even beheaded for his stand of truth. Herodias hated John because he showed her that she and Herod were living in sin. He pointed out a truth, and in return, She had him killed. There was destruction in our heart, in her heart. You know, as we look back, go back to our illustration here of the dog, of the business owner. When you show an evil man truth, be prepared for the repercussions that will follow. Speaker once said something that I thought was kind of humorous, yet it's not always true. It says, when you come to an evil man with something, be prepared because it's going to involve lawyers, guns, and finger pointing. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 4. 4 to 19. Proverbs 4, 14 to 19. Enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light, that shineth more and more, until the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. The wicked will despise both the message and the message bearer. And verse 16 shows that an evil man is only happy when he is taking somebody else down. Now let's look for a bit at the foolish man, the second option this man had, that your employee has. So back to our illustration. If your employee is going to be the foolish man, he might be the brightest and smartest guy around. However, he will take the truth that you give him, and he's going to tweak it, he's going to adjust it to fit his plan. Or he will minimize what you're saying and deny it's a reality. In verse 6 of our text says, forsake the foolish and live. And go in the way of understanding. To me, this gives the idea that you're never going to get anywhere with the fool. The fool is never happy to hear that they are part of the problem. Verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. This means when you come to a fool, he's going to hate you. And instead of accepting that he's the problem, he will in turn point fingers at you and blame you for everything and tell you that he is doing because of you. The definition of insanity, according to Albert Einstein, is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. That also can be implied to a foolish man. Matthew 7:6 says, give not that which is unholy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. They see no value in the truth. They even despise it. There is something else a foolish person does. When you come to him with the truth, when you're done talking, he's going to go to somebody else that agrees with him and get support from that person. A fool hears the truth, knows in his heart what he needs to do, but he just can't bring himself to make the necessary change. As I thought about this, my mind was drawn to the rich young ruler. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, I want to read verses 16 to 22. Matthew 19, 16 to 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go, sell all thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The rich young ruler knew what he needed to do. All he had to do was sell his possessions and follow Jesus. And you know, as you look at that example, and you see that he was there beside Jesus. Jesus told him right to his face what to do. He knew what he needed to do, but he couldn't bring himself to change. And as we look at that man, it's easy for me to say, well, you fool. All you had to do was do one thing. But you know, sometimes we can be the same way as this rich young ruler. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Proverbs 13:18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now we save the best one for last, the wise man and the third option, and the one that I hope all of us are. Back to our illustration. If your employee is the wise man, excuse me if I'm a spot here. When you come to your wise man with the truth and show him something that he could do better at, he will adjust himself or something that he's doing to match and fit the truth that you presented to him. Unlike the fool who adjusted the truth, he will adjust himself or something that he's doing to fit the things that you're saying. Verses 8b and 9 of our text says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wise, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You know, as you look at that, that is a beautiful picture of a wise man. And what every Christian should look like. Psalm 141:5 says, let the righteous smite thee, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. The word smite there gives the idea of when you use a hammer and you hit something, break it down. My commentary had a good way of looking at this verse. It says, nobody really likes criticism, but everyone can benefit from it when it is given wisely and taken humbly. David suggested how to accept criticism. 3 things. Don't refuse it. Consider it a kindness, keep quiet, and don't fight back. Putting these suggestions into practice will help you control how you react to criticism, making it productive rather than destructive, no matter how originally it was intended. If we receive correction with a humble attitude, we can make a difference in our future. And as I thought about the wise man and how he responds to truth, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 19, and I want to read the first 10 verses there. Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was a little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. You know, we see here that Zacchaeus showed an inward change by his outward actions. And as I look at this account, you know, I don't see anywhere where Jesus told him exactly, Zacchaeus, you need to do this, this, and this. But Zacchaeus knew what he needed to do, and he made the change. He adjusted his life to fit the truth that was presented before him. Zacchaeus was a wise man. Wise people humbly acknowledge their sinful condition and accept the rebuke of their foolish way. They embrace the truth of wisdom's message and love those who care enough about them to warn them that they are on the road to destruction. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." You know, that's where wisdom starts. If we truly love and fear, but the fear there means reverence to the Lord. Too many times I think we view wisdom as lessons from life. And while that might be where some wisdom comes from, it is absolutely nothing if we don't recognize that true wisdom only comes from the Lord. And to obey his commandments of the Lord is the path to wisdom. And as I looked at y'all's bulletin here this morning, I read the top passage that y'all had in there. And I was blessed by that because I felt like it went right along with the message. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Ecclesiastes 12:13. Proverbs 3:11-13 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." I believe with my whole heart that every one of us here this morning desires to be that wise man. And as I reflect on my own life, I see that there are times that I was not always the wise man. There are times I've even acted like the evil man, not in the way of being out to destroy everyone and everyone around me, but by being maybe spiteful. You know, you did something that hurt me, so you just wait, buddy. I'll get you back, and people will see just who you are. And I think if we're honest, we are aware that there's sometimes professing Christians that act this way. This doesn't mean they're completely evil, even though they may have an evil intention for a moment. But I use that example there this morning as a caution. Because if that thought pattern becomes a habit, that's where the evil man comes from. Sometimes our friends want us to do things that we know we shouldn't, and they're wrong to do, but they encourage us to do them anyway. This also could be the quality of an evil man. My commentary had something I found very interesting about the evil man that I want to read. It says, "Even friends can make you fall, and it's difficult for people to accept the fact that friends and acquaintances may lure them to do wrong. Young people who want to be accepted would never confront or criticize a friend for wrong plans or actions. Many other people can't even see how their friend's actions could lead to trouble. While we should be accepting of others, we need a healthy skepticism about human behavior. When you feel yourself being heavily influenced, proceed with caution. Don't let your friends cause you to fall into sin." You know, every one of us here this morning is born with a sin nature. And I don't believe it's our first nature to be the wise man. But God, what about someone that is always critical of something someone does? That also can be the quality of an evil man. And as I reflect on my own life, you know, I couldn't think right then of a particular scenario, but I'm sure that I was tempted at some time to get back at somebody or be critical of them and be like the evil man. The reality is every one of us can respond to truth like these three men. What about the foolish man? Could that be one of us here this morning? Could that be me? I confess to you this morning, as I look into a sermon like this, there have been times in my life that I know I have responded like the foolish man. I had a truth that was presented to me. I knew I needed to change something, but I took no action. I was a fool. And as I reflect on my own life, when truths are presented to me and I don't do anything about it, I look back and I see that as acting like the fool. But as I think about this, you know, just because you don't take immediate action doesn't make you a fool. But if that becomes a lifestyle and that's how you handle every truth that is presented to you and me, that's when we become a fool. Our small decisions will lead to habits and will turn us into the man that we are. Our small decisions will lead to habits and will turn us into the man that we are. As I think about that, I ask, you know, which of these three am I? Which one are you? We as Christians, we come to church every Sunday. We hear sermon after sermon that points out truths. We see things in our life that we maybe should change, or maybe the Holy Spirit prompts us that we know we need to change something. What are we doing with that? Are you making the change? Am I making the change? What are you doing with the truths and the information that God has given you and me? All of us sat through many messages. When the Holy Spirit shows us something that we need to change, what are we doing? We as Christians are going to have to give a very high account to the information that was revealed to us and how we responded to that information. What do you do when somebody comes to you with a concern about something they see in your life? How we respond to these truths will tell us who we really are. And I bring a message like this morning, not because I think we're not listening to what the Lord is saying, but because I know as I look in my own life that there are times that I know I have been the fool and I know I needed to change something, and I found a way to justify my actions and continue on the path that I was heading. You know, I believe sometimes Satan can deceive us to where we truly don't know which of these three men we are. And sometimes we need to ask God to show us which one of these men we are. And sometimes it would be helpful if we go to another brother and ask him which of these three he thinks I am, or he sees me to be by my actions. And I will testify that this can be helpful. I've already gone to a brother and asked him how I come across, if he sees anything in my life, because sometimes if I'm the only one that's evaluating my life, I very easily could be missing some obvious things. And I don't want to minimize in any way that by prayer and by asking the Lord to show us, the Lord can reveal something, because I believe that with my whole heart here this morning. I believe it is very important for each one of us to evaluate our lives. Because as you look at the evil and the foolish man and you line them two men up, it can be easy, I believe, that we can almost see the fool as not being quite so bad as the evil man, but that's not true. The fool and the evil man will share the same destiny, and that's hell. It may seem that the fool isn't as bad as the evil man because he doesn't have a destructive heart, but the truth is they're both as bad. And if we don't recognize that, we could easily end up spending eternity with the evil man. And as I think about the evil and the foolish man, if we're going through life and the Holy Spirit is showing us things that we need to change, but we're not willing to make the changes that we know we need to, we will not be, I truly don't think, we will be able to stand for Jesus in the face of death. If we're acting like the foolish man and somebody comes in the back door and holds a gun to your head and you've constantly been quenching the spirit and been saying, no, I'm not going to make a change, I'm not going to make a change, I'm not going to make a change, then you're not going to have the Holy Spirit's power to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to renounce the name of the Holy Spirit. So let's be the wise man. When we hear truth, change our lives to fit the truth that was presented to us so that we can say, yes, I am standing for Jesus. And when Jesus comes and we meet him in the air, we are going to heaven.